Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. You've got 10 minutes to tell your best story, but there's a catch. It has to have a South Dakota connection, and it has to help someone in need. If listening to 10 stories that connect you with your home sound like an entertaining night, it gets better, because money gathered during the fundraiser supports one remarkable story that's been years in the making. Kim Bartling is with us to tell us all about the background behind Plains Speaking People. Kim is with us on the phone from Sioux Falls. Hey, Kim.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on this afternoon.
Yeah, it's right into that afternoon, depending on which side of the state you're on. So it's, you know, a little bit of both.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
This is a great sounding program. And before we talk about the background of it, I want to talk about exactly what audience members can see, because it's Plains Speaking People. Dakota Stories for the Stage, June 1st at 7:30 p.m. at the Orpheum in Sioux Falls. What can audience goers expect?
Well, first of all, it is supposed to be beautiful this weekend for First Friday in downtown Sioux Falls, which is making me so happy, right? We're all ready to get out and enjoy it.
Yeah.
So this Friday, downtown Sioux Falls, First Friday, and we are going to have 10 amazing South Dakota connected stories being told. And we have, I'm just going to give you real quickly the list of the names of the people that are going to be telling their story. We have Sarah. I was just talking to Sarah and Schnazenbach, I believe.
Okay.
And Jeff Gould, Debbie Jones, Mike Henriksen, Melissa Johnson, JT Nelson, Zach Van Beek, Bill Palinuk, Shane Gerlach, and then Brittany Cornejo.
Yeah.
So, who is my Belizean daughter, that this was all somewhat of an inspiration to be able to tell her South Dakota story.
So people had to sort of, you know, present their stories to you ahead of time to kind of figure out who would be your final lineup, and you got a great lineup there. Melissa Johnson was just on our program last week.
So
I can't wait to hear her story and more. And just any South Dakota connection, tell me a little bit about their variety.
Well, right. So the impetus for where this was, the Moth came through Sioux Falls, right, a couple months ago. And so excited, because it's one of my favorite things to listen to on NPR. And so girlfriends and I headed down to take that in. Well, we kind of thought when we opened up the program, you know, it would be some of our friends. We were born and raised here. We thought we'd know somebody. And found out that, that's not the way this works, that they had brought in their next best stories that had submitted with actual NPR.
Right.
So the stories that came from all over the United States. And it was, oh, my gosh, what a great night.
Right.
Well, they missed it. They really missed it. It was wonderful. And so, but when I was walking out of the Orpheum, and I had talked to Mike about the fact that he had pitched, Mike Henriksen, mm-hmm. and saw Melissa Johnson, and somebody asked me if I had pitched, because I love to tell a good story. And went, no, obviously that's not the way this worked. It was so much fun, but let's make that happen.
Yeah.
So, yes, I went down the next day. I'd been looking for somewhat of a fundraiser to do anyway. And went down the next day and booked in. Said, let's do this, but with a South Dakota connection.
Awesome.
And so we basically, you know, that imitation is the greatest form of flattery. We just followed the Moth's guidelines and did the same thing, where they could pitch 250 words or actually a two-minute audio on the website, and we came up with these 10 people.
Yeah, and I think there was a real appetite for that. Now, I believe that the Moth has other events where people can just come down, and this was I think they have three or four different styles of events that they bring to a community. But talk about the power of story, of just sitting and listening to a story, and then and how to bring that even closer to home, to where the stories that you're listening to are those people that you know.
Well, I have been lucky enough to base my life on telling a good story as a theater professor, right? That's what we do, is to tell the story. And I grew up in a house where we're still, my sister and I, we call ourselves the I'm In Sisters, you know? So it's like, well, that seems like a terrible idea. We should do that, and that will make a great story.
Right.
And also, I always have to give credit. I grew up on a farm outside of Garrettson, and I call them my godparents, but they're a farm couple down the road, and listening to Sharon and Grant talk about growing up, and Grant was a rodeo clown, and he was one of my favorite stories to listen to. And so, I think more than ever, we're just driven by a good story. Look at how many times you look even on social media and people are saying, what's your favorite podcast? We're wanting to connect through stories. And so here is an opportunity for our friends, our community, our neighbors. People are, you know, have a connection to tell us their story. I was just meeting with Jeff Gould this morning, who's just what a wonderful man. And he even said, you know, that when somebody just gives that, when you're talking, that you know you've made a connection, just that sound of, And so, yeah, that's what we're going for, just a I'm excited.
And even the people who are telling the story through the process of preparing it and getting it ready to share often have that moment too where they say, I didn't know. I know I'm maybe a little guilty as a parent. I hope it will, I hope time will be kind to me. But whenever something, you know, maybe crazy or negative happens to my daughter, sometimes I go too quickly to, well, it's going to be a really good story someday.
It's all about the story.
I mean, you got a story out of it, right?
Well, and for years I've used the actually kind of, I took this from a friend of mine years and years and years ago, but at first I was going to call this the theory of decodativity, because I believe there is one degree of decodativity.
Yeah.
You know, no matter where I've gone in the world, I run into somebody on a train or, you know, walking down the beach in Belize where it's like, Bartling, is that you? So, you know, it's that theory of decodativity that we really do share such a deep root in this state.
Yeah.
About how we connect, and whether, you know, in my case, I start every sentence, well, that's a student of mine, and then I go on. But, so whether we went to school with them, or we taught them, or we worked with them, or we are related to them, it's really about one degree. So I'm excited to have that connection come alive at the Orpheum on Friday.
Let's talk about the story behind this, because it is so compelling. The story of Brittany Cornejo, who you're in Belize, and she's literally sort of sleeping on your front step.
Showed up.
How do you end up in Belize? Why are you there?
Well, that, again, there's a story. My father, very much a patriarchal family, and he was dying slowly of colon cancer. And my dad never said it out loud, but when he got sick, decided that I was going to be the caretaker, not my mother. My dad wanted to be my mom's boyfriend till the day he died.
Oh, wow.
And so it was not like this, because he was way too rough and gruff to actually say that out loud. But so it got to the point where it was every chemo session, every doctor, whatever, I was just expected to be there. In addition to, you know, at USF, I was the theater department, so I was working 7 days a week, 14 hours a day, and then trying to carve that in. And in the midst of all of that, a girlfriend of mine was like, you know, I got this place in Belize I think you should visit, just to figure out what you're going to do with your life.
Yeah.
And so I went, because Dad was dying and trying to figure out, you know, what is my life going to look like? And on that white beach with that blue water, which I had never seen before, I just fell in love with all these kids. And one of them was Brittany Cornejo and her little 12-year-old self, who would follow us home from school. And I told her one early morning, as she and I were sitting on the beach after we woke up, and she was waiting for me to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, said as she was reading a book, that if you never miss school and you get all good grades, maybe someday you could come to the States and go with me for a year. And fast forward 3 years later, that little thing figured out how to get off the island, which is an hour and a half by boat, to the mainland, how to take a third world bus up to their capital, Belmopan, how to plant herself in front of an embassy. And when I came back when she was 15, she was holding a visa and a passport and said, when do we go?
Oh, wow.
And she is my heart. And she is she's my daughter as much as my sons are, and our family. And she has done a remarkable job.
Kim, go back to that moment where you sort of said, you know, yeah, that could happen, because you're not the kind of person who would say it and not mean it, but yet you're also not the kind of person who would minimize how difficult that would be. Did you feel like you were, because in retrospect, it seems like you were just sort of declaring it to the universe, if that doesn't sound too frou-frou, but, and then everything kind of, at some point you were, you know, calling a shot or saying, like, this is possible, and if it happens, it happens.
Yeah, no, absolutely that. I would never say something that I'm not going to follow through. I'm to a fault. It's interesting. I made my living in Christian ed, and I have been blessed with an incredible career in theater, mostly in Christian ed. And not to minimize that, but it was when I kind of walked away from all of that and showed up in Belize that my faith walk became incredibly strong and started all these years. My parents, everybody used to say, this crap only happens to Kim. My God, this only. And then you kind of go, you know, maybe it's the Holy Spirit. Maybe it is something bigger, you know, and like you said, you throw it out there and go, then follow it. Just all you got to do is follow it and come from a place of yes and not a place of these are 14,000 reasons why it's a bad idea. Sometimes it's just one good reason that it's a good idea. And it may be very difficult, but it's still a good idea. Yeah. And so with, you know, she did all the heavy lifting. I'm still amazed knowing where she's come from, knowing how she lives, which is hard to explain to people. She's incredibly poor and in the middle of seven. She has a family who does love her very much, loves her so much that they let her come up because she is going to make a difference in that country.
Right.
She is going to go on to college. She's going to do up. We're trying to, the money for this, of course, is to be raised for her to go up with people and experience that and then come back and do college. And she's said from the get-go, I'm going to go home and run for political office. I'm going to change my country. I'm going to change where I came from. And that has not changed from the time I met her when she was 12 years old.
Wow.
So this is not that story where, you know, we talk about all of the things we know with dreamers. She is a dreamer, but she's a dreamer that wants to go home and she wants to make that difference.
Right.
And then, yeah, you got to love it, right? So all you do is just kind of swim along in the wake and push her along when she needs it once in a while and make those opportunities happen. So her story is lovely and full of integrity. And I've told her every day she went to school, I said, you're the bravest person I know. Mm-hmm. I mean, she had to navigate social mores and norms and an educational system. Can you imagine coming in your sophomore year and having to do American government and American literature and American history and all of those things along with critical thinking skills that are not taught in third world countries. So she's just so brave but verbal and continues to go forward. So she's going to tell her story. She's going to do her story a little different. It's going to be in spoken word poetry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure it'll be fantastic.
So when you're in Belize and you first sort of meet her and move from just, you know, I'm in my place where the water is blue and, you know, this is a very relaxing moment, you make an intentional decision to go ahead and walk away from that place and see how this child is actually living in her day-to-day life, which is a confrontation with poverty and with privilege. And as you stepped into that spot, and then really, and then Brittany does the same thing. She sort of goes back and forth between worlds, and there's a difficult adjustment in going home to Belize after, for one thing, she loves you and she misses you. But that's part of being human and being in the world, too. What do you think she's learning now that when she does, and here I am saying when she does run for office in her home country, what do you think she'll bring with her from this vast array of experiences that she is on track to having or has already had?
Well, here's what I can say what I hope it is.
Yeah.
I hope it's that every person deserves to be seen. You know, we lump people into all these groups. You know, we lump in and we say we're from Dakota, you know, plain-speaking people. We're from Dakota. This is the way we behave. That's not true. You know, I'm different from my neighbor across the street. I'm different from my husband and my children. And so I think the idea that, you know, this is what all third world countries are like. It's like talking about immigrants. This is what all immigrants like. Or this is what nobody wants that. We're all human beings. And we all come from a specific place. We all have a specific name and experiences. And I think that that's it. I think she comes up here and frankly, not a lot of people ask each other about their stories.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to say it, but she's gone to school for about 3 years, and not too many people have asked her story. Mm-hmm. And you can dress her up, and she looks like every other kid in the neighborhood, but she's not. But that's not to say that my kid across the street doesn't have a story to tell. We know that. We've had some major tragedy in our community just the last couple of weeks about what goes on in normal people's homes, and we need to tell those stories, and that's the connection, and that's where healing and celebration and pride and all, you know, a good type of pride comes from. And so I hope it's nothing else when she'll go home and go, no, I come from seven, you know, a family of seven kids, and my mom did the best I can, but my mom's different. My mom has a story, and my siblings do, and my neighbors, so we look at things more on an individual level instead of, it's so easy to lump things together as a problem. Hmm. So, and that's, isn't what this is about, right? We have 10 people telling 10 different stories, but we all have a South Dakota connection.
The event is called Plains Speaking People. It's First Friday, June 1st at 7:30 at the Orpheum Theater. That's in downtown Sioux Falls, and the proceeds benefit Brittany Cornejo and her journey to travel with Up With People. Kim Bartling, come back and talk to us anytime.
Thank you so much for taking time out of the day to call us. We just can't wait to see everybody there.